Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Yes, it's a beautiful day. And guess who's in the studio this morning with me? Our friends from NAS Whiting Field. Jamie Coffey is here. She is the Director of Public Affairs.
I am.
That's a big job. Along with... Because so many things could fall under that category.
Oh, yes.
Along with Christy Mason, who is the deputy, which is why you have a deputy of public affairs. Yeah. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you.
She keeps me sane. Christy keeps me sane. But we definitely partner it out at NAS Whiting Field for sure. Because you're right. Anything could happen on any day and time. That's the public affairs. Ask Bruce Cummins, who's Pensacola's
public affairs officer.
Yes. Yeah, so we absolutely.
Anything could happen.
Great song to start off our day.
Yes, I love her pick. This is perfect.
Meg, we could just come in here and do music. I mean...
Oh, I'm a DJ from way back. I could do it just all morning, for sure.
Oh, incredible.
Just sip a little coffee, a couple of minutes of chatter, and then boom, more songs.
Just music moves me, and I think it moves a lot of folks, and it's just, it's a powerful piece.
It really is, actually. I love music so much, and it is a mood maker.
Oh, it is.
For sure. But I'm also a victim to the... Oh, we broke up. Breaking up is hard to do.
The emotional tie that it can bring.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
True.
Oh,
so true.
And I'll just swallow and, you know. But anyway, that's a whole other day.
That's what we need, the listeners. We need the listeners to kind of call in or text us in what music, what songs have brought strong emotional, you know, reactions to you. What... Give us some songs out there. Give us some bands that just bring and pull
emotions.
We can
do that. 850-437-1620.
We're going to start our own local list. That's what we're going to do. We're going to do our own podcast list.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to jump in today. So it's Christy and I today. And we're going to do facts and history of NAS Whiting Field right there in Milton, Florida. So
nice.
We thought we would start off with a rapid fire facts, and we call them Did You Know? So did you know about NAS Whiting Field? So we're just going to hit everybody with facts. So Christy, you want to start with us?
So did you know approximately one in every 6 flight hours flown in the Navy last year alone originated from NAS Whiting Field?
Now, do I need to say every time, I did not know that?
If you want, we'll leave it up to you.
Because I did not know that.
you did know that.
We hope that's going to be the same. We hope that's going to be for a lot of the questions of like, I didn't know that. All these interesting facts about NAS Whiting Field. So the installation's Navy Outlying Landing Field, Holly, has been converted into a solar farm many years ago to help meet the Navy's green energy goals. The project provided energy for up to 18,000 houses on a sunny day. So incredible energy impact.
Wow.
NAS Whiting Field also was once home to the Blue Angels. So happy birthday to them. I think they just celebrated 80 years in April. So in 1949 and 1950, the team called the installation home, but disbanded due to the need for pilots during the Korean War and reformed at another base after the war.
Huh.
All of the ties. Whiting has been designated as a Tree City USA for 35 consecutive years by the National Arbor Day Foundation, the longest such designation for any Florida military installation. So I'll give a shout out to Christina Malitz, who is our environmental resource manager, and she does an incredible job every single year of supporting and planting a tree on the installation every single year. And we've been doing that for 30. This year marks the 35 years of us doing
now,
that.
Now, see, that makes me feel like I do not know anything because in my mind, I'm thinking NAS Whiting Fields, then I'm thinking airfields.
Right.
No trees.
Right.
No environment. Just a base. Wow, that is really cool.
Special trained individuals that kind of mitigate that because we do have to worry about that in the tree lines and how high they are to the flight track. So it's really interesting that we've got all these scientists and environmental specialists that do a great job of picking really great locations.
That's wonderful.
For our green space. Yep.
Kudos.
So also, approximately 125 German prisoners of war were housed at what was then Navy Auxiliary Air Station Whiting Field at the end of World War II to help with construction projects on the new base.
That's a huge part of our history, and you can see it in the rafters of our HQ building, and you can see it in the rafters of our chapel. Mm-hmm. We have the beautiful woodworking. You just have to look up and see some of that beautiful woodworking that they did. It's crazy. So here's my fact. Did you know roughly 1 million flight operations were performed by training Air Wing 5 aircraft last year, making us the busiest air complex in the world?
Wow. Yeah. NES Whiting Field is also responsible for 30 runways comprising of more than 800,000 square feet.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I knew they were there.
Runways.
Wow.
We are. We're going to get into numbers. NES Whiting Field has more than $1 billion, has a more than $1 billion impact on the surrounding community, Santa Rosa County, as determined by the University of West Florida study. So we've had several studies, but it's a big number.
Yeah, and going back to talk about our environmental team, they help track and preserve habitats for two protected species, the reticulated flatwood salamander and the gopher tortoise.
Wow.
It's not a shocker to see gopher tortoises on the installation.
Really?
They're cute.
Again, Christina Melitz has to mitigate that and make sure that they're not close to runways, that their dens are not located. Of course, we have to do control burns and all kinds of things, but she does keep and protect the gopher tortoises, and then we have the reticulated salamander out at Holly.
Wow.
So this is a fact I think a lot of folks already know, but I'm going to say it again. We house the largest training air wing in the Navy, Training Air Wing 5.
Wow.
So shout out to Training Air Wing 5 and Captain Kerr, who is the Commodore over at Training Air Wing 5, doing a fabulous job leading the charge over there.
Yeah. And they have international students as well. So militaries from Saudi Arabia, Spain, Italy, and others are receiving their training right at Whiting Field, if I can say that.
Yes, that's amazing.
That's too many words.
It's amazing.
NASWF is responsible for 52% of all the Navy's outlying landing fields.
Wow.
So because of we have 12, and some of the installations have one, possibly two, but a lot of times they have one, so we have 12.
Yeah, and we do, NES Whiting Field does more than 80,000 refueling details each year at the aviation complex.
Good grief. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fuel. Our fuel officers are busy.
That's a lot of facts here.
Yes.
A lot of good to knows.
Wow.
We have green energy partnering efforts resulting in more than 480,000 solar panels being erected on Navy Field Holly.
Wow.
It's a lot of solar.
It is.
That's amazing.
NES Whiting Field also supports 60% of the Chief of Naval Air Training's primary flight training syllabus.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So 60%.
I'm overwhelmed by these amazing facts, but I know that there are more. We have Jamie Coffey here, and we have Christy Mason, both with the Department of Public Affairs. They will be back with more interesting facts about NAS Whiting Field right here on Pep Talk. If you've got a question for them, 850-437-1620. We'll be right back. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel. Our friends from NAS Whiting Field are here, Jamie Coffey, Christy Mason in the Public Affairs Group, telling us all about the fun facts.
Information and history, NAS Whiting
Field. I love it. I'm hearing things I did not know. It's fascinating. It's funny because we take for granted. We know you're there. We hear all about you, but I love this, so keep going.
Yep, numbers. NAS Whiting Field and its outlying landing field runways compiled end-to-end would result in a road from the installation all the way to Pensacola, if you put them together.
Yeah, and so Whiting Field's footprint includes 12 outlying landing fields in Florida and Alabama and controls more than 92 miles of fence line.
Wow.
Yeah. NAS Whiting Field earned the Installation Excellence Award, and secured the Shore Battle E Award in the medium category. Battle E is an operational award recognizing installations, exceptional resource management, and it celebrates its mission resiliency and safeguarding over 20,000 acres to protect aviation missions. And I'll shout out to Randy Roy for his key role in safeguarding that.
Wow.
Last one. I'll give you one more. Last one. 100% of all Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard helicopter pilots receive their initial helicopter training at Whiting Field.
100%?
100%.
Wow. So we're going to talk a little bit about Whiting.
Okay.
NAS Whiting Field. There is It's a kind of a rarity that mm-hmm. we are named after a person.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
So
there's a history
there. Rather than a location, because most naval air stations are like Pensacola, mm-hmm. the location that they're at.
Yep. So why is that?
So it's, I wrote it down just because I wanted to say it a little bit more eloquent. The base was named for and dedicated to the pioneering spirit of Captain Kenneth Whiting, leader in the early days in naval aviation, submarine warfare, and aircraft carrier development. He really truly was a pioneer. What do they call him? Number 16. So he was aviator number 16. He trained with Orville Wright.
Wow.
He was bad to the bone in his own right. He really was. He did so many things, and he was very, very humble. Very, very humble. So in 1914 is when he trained with Orville Wright. I just think that that's really cool. And then in 1922 is when the carrier development, operational tactics in ship and aircraft design is when he started to kind of focus on there. Okay, we need to create a floating airfield. Okay, let's do it.
What?
So that's exactly what he did. So he kind of helped transform naval aviation from that experimental concept back in those early 1900s, kind of that to a decisive warfighting capability. So he established the foundations for carrier operations and also pilot training and gave us aviation readiness and what it is today.
What year was this? Would this have been? What era?
So he began the aviation portion in 1914.
Wow.
But prior to that, he is an Academy grad guy, I believe 1906. And he was on submarines before that. And
he
did some really, really cool stuff. So let me read another I've got stories to tell on this man.
What are you referencing there? Is that a book about him?
Well, we have a base guide from a while back, many years ago, when I actually did have funding. And we put a little bit of history in on Kenneth Whiting and just the history of the base and the squadron. So I'm going to read something to you. I just thought that this was a cool excerpt. Whiting is best remembered for his groundbreaking work in submarine emergency egress, which is how you exit. Whiting conceived the idea that sailors could escape from a disabled submarine using the torpedo tubes. And in April 1909, he put the theory to the test. Squeezing into the 18-inch tube, Whiting asked for the torpedo tube to be sealed and flooded.
What?
Holding fast to a support brace, the pressure of the tube being flooded allowed Whiting to swim free from the submarine, and he appeared safe on the surface of the water in just 17 seconds.
Oh, my gosh.
77 seconds.
I mean, he could have died doing that. I mean,
absolutely.
He just got trapped in there.
So he was a brave guy.
Yeah.
I call him like a secret water bug. he was an aviator. He did all these things, and that was not just, that's just one story to tell. When he was on submarines prior to that, he was on a boat and decided to pop out and said, it's the same thing. Like, what would we do if we needed to egress in an emergency? And he popped off the boat. They said he took a deep breath and he went under. He went completely under the water and resurfaced on the other side.
Wow.
So this is just a little part of him and who he is.
So interesting. Well, a listener just texted in. Michael just texted in and says that all the fields are named after a person, including Sherman Field at NAS Pensacola. And Academy graduates are referred to as midshipmen, not graduate guys.
Yes, midshipman. Thank you. Yes, I shouldn't call him a guy or an academy guy.
An academy
grad.
There you go. It's a midshipman. Yes, thank you
for that info. Yeah, it's
well. We have a lot of. I believe we do have a lot of NAS and Navy veterans here in this area,
so we
appreciate the input.
Yes, I wish we had more time because we could talk about the outlying landing fields. Because yes, the outlying landing fields are named after pioneers in their outright. Oh, we could just list
Do that one of the shows?
Absolutely.
Come back with all that info. Very, be fascinating.
Very influential aviators and naval personnel. He was also the commanding officer of the USS Langley. So this was the first one. It had a 534-foot flight deck.
Wow.
So think about that from that time frame. It was the very first aircraft carrier to construct in that way. And now we're also going to be talking about the challenges of moving a flight deck. So again, when I say he's a pioneer, of an aircraft carrier, they were the first ones.
Amazing.
They were the first ones, and he was a part of that influence with the engineering portion of it. So, I don't know how you perfect takeoff and landings when you're doing it with things like the arresting gear was ropes and sandbags and they just used all kinds of things back then. Like, okay, how do we stop this aircraft on this floating deck? It was just absolutely incredible to read about him. So not only that, he was perfecting and helped develop a landing signal officer, and that was basically for the safety. And so by 1942, the Langley was transporting aircraft to Allied forces. So incredible that he was such a big part of that, and then went on to we were transporting those aircraft. So absolutely powerful, powerful guy.
I love the history. Just amazing. This is Pep Talk. We're getting a little bit of history today about NAS Whiting and Whiting Field. And it's Kenneth Whiting. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Kenneth
yes.
Whiting. Happy. We'll have a little few more fun facts for you when we come back. This is Pep Talk. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Our experts are Jamie Coffey and Christy Mason, both from NAS Whiting Field Public Affairs, telling us some interesting fun facts about Whiting Field that I never knew. This is great.
Very proud of our history.
Yes, tell me more.
The history of NAS Whiting Field and NAS Pensacola is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And you want to tell us about like the aircraft that have flown at Whiting Field?
Sure. Here's the history, just a quick rundown of the history of the aircraft. So the first one was the SNJ Texan. The second was a T-34 Bravo Mentor. That started in 1955. And that's the other thing I would love, if we have anybody out there that is tied to our historical aircraft, I would love to hear from you. So to the T-34 Bravo Mentor started in 1955, and it followed the T-28 Trojan. After the Trojan was the T-34 Charlie. They called that the Turbo Mentor. And then the fifth one, people will have to correct me if I'm saying it wrong, but the T-01, it's a shooting star. And it was an Air Force F-80 shooting star. So that was really interesting to read that was in the mix. The sixth, the SNB Expeditor. Number seven was the UH-1 Alpha, the Iroquois. And number eight was, of course, the TH-57 Bravo, which is our Sea Ranger helicopter. And at that time, we also, our current fixed-wing aircraft, I think the simulator started in about August 2009, and then we on board landed the first T-6 Texan II in September of 2009, and then now, of course, brings us to our current T-6 and our TH-73 Thrasher. Thrasher is named after a bird. FYI, so we're talking facts and information here. At first, I was like, a bird, and they were like, yeah, but it's like... It's incredible in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible in the air. It's
cool.
Okay, got it. But that's just a little history on all of the aircraft at Whiting.
What about Waves, personally? I heard Waves were at Whiting Field. Is that?
We do, and we say Waves. It's like a noun, like the Waves were here. Mm-hmm. But it's also an acronym, so it's Women Accepted for Voluntary Emergency Service.
Ah.
So that's super interesting. During World War II, their contributions directly impacted the war effort on flight lines and in training hangars, aviation mechanics. They called them mechs, like mechanics,
uh-huh.
Short for mechanics. And they called them mechs. They supported equipment rigging, crew lines for painting, welding, clerical work. I just kind of want to mention that we have a lot of black and white photos, and you can see the Waves in those photos.
I love it.
And the biggest part is that they operated the Link trainers, and those Link trainers were mounted boxes on ball bearings, so they allowed the aviators to practice pitch, yaw, roll, and instrument flying.
Wow.
Incredible work that the Waves served at NAS Whiting Field.
Thank you so much for all of this information.
Of
it's just fascinating.
Yes.
I love it. We have to do Fun Facts Day every time y'all come on.
More
Thank
history.
You so much.
Thank
this
you.
Was Jamie Coffey and Christy Mason with NAS Whiting Field. Thank you for all you do for us.